Man, it's so good to be with you guys this morning. If you're a guest here, welcome. You know, what we'd love to do is we love to set our attention on Jesus. We believe that he's not just some figure up in the clouds somewhere, but he is a God that is intimately connected with humanity, that he walks among us, that his promises where two or three gather, he is in our midst. And so this morning, what we've been doing is we've been setting our attention, our gaze on the one who's not off in the planets, but is right here in the room. And if you're a guest here, we welcome you, but you are not the honored guest. The honored guest is God himself every Sunday when we gather together. And so we are trying to learn what it means as a community to say, what does it look like to gather with him as our forefront, not people? What if God, the presence of God, was our priority? And so we're learning. We don't have it figured out. We're definitely not a perfect church by any stretch of the imagination, But I think one thing we have right, we're pursuing rightly, is how do we make the presence of God what we're about, that we're looking for, not just when we gather on a Sunday morning, but when we go to work on Monday, when we go to school on Tuesday, wherever we're at, that we're consistently looking and aware of the presence of God and attuning our ear to the voice of God and joining him with us today. I would love for you to grab your Bible. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in just a moment. I'm going to set up shop there. As Richie and Jenna started out the day, they referenced that we are tomorrow stepping into our annual corporate fast that we do as a community. Tomorrow marks the first day of a fast that we call Withhold to Behold. How many of you have been part of our fast before? Can I just show hands? Yeah, many of us in the room, if you're new, like this is just kind of what we do. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. We see that Jesus participated in fast. We see Moses participated in fast. And even Jesus said that there will be a day when the bridegroom leaves, that's his ascension, that his people will fast. And so I know it's not super popular in the West, but it actually is this beautiful, beautiful discipline that is meant to draw us to God. So on Monday, we're going to start this fast. And so I would encourage you, even today, if you haven't given it much thought and you're like, man, I've never fasted maybe before, you want to try it. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Number one, check out the website, withholdtobehold.com. Super simple. It's got frequently asked questions. I know we have a lot of people that are new to the faith in here, a lot of people that maybe are figuring out what is this Jesus following about. So you may be like, what in the world's a fast? I've heard of intermittent fasting, because everybody's heard about that nowadays, but like, what is like fasting? And so we put some frequently asked questions on the website to help you, and also some questions that you should ask as you're processing this. And even today, maybe just ask the Lord, like Jamie was talking about her conversation with God. God, what would you have me fast this year? See, fasting is withholding. I'm gonna withhold from something, but that something is not the point of our 21 days. Like, the point is for you to withhold from, you know, eating sugar, okay? People do that, man. We've heard lots of different people. We've had people fast, you know, different foods. We've had people fast social media, which is always a good thing. Fast the news, especially the three-letter newses. Yeah, it'd be good to fast that once in a while. People fasting tobacco products. We have a gentleman 3 or 4 years ago, he fasted from tobacco, and to this day, he said it changed his life, and he's a different guy. It's amazing, right? From alcohol, from different patterns, you know, different things we do. So there's so many things that the Lord would invite you to withhold from, but the point of the fast is not to withhold. The point of the fast is withholding in order to behold, to see God, to recognize his presence, to see his beauty, to recognize that he's with us in the midst. And so the whole fast, the whole purpose of it is not, we're not fasting for something like a building. We're not fasting for some breakthrough. Here's what we're doing as we start the year. We want to start the year with our eyes on Jesus. We want to say, man, there's so many things that we can set our eyes on. There's so many things that we can focus on, that we can get our energy into. But man, to start the year, we want to set it off on the right. But we want to set our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the rock, the one who is the finisher and the author of our faith. We want to see him rightly. And so as a community, we partake in that. And there's a few ways to connect. And because I think this fast, it's not just an individual thing, although it's deeply personal. And there's so many deep personal stories that we hear after these 21 days. But it's also meant to be a community builder, a unifier. And so over these 21 days, starting tomorrow, we're going to have a daily, really short devotional, because I know so many people are studying the Word and getting into the Scriptures and whatnot, so we didn't want to put a ton up there, but we have a daily kind of a micro devotional, a short devotional, followed by either a prayer point where we're going to be all praying in together or an application for the day where we all together, all of us, are going to be praying to the same things, reading the same text. It's going to be beautiful. And so I think we have, up here. If you want to actually get your phone out right now, I would love for you to do that. We have a way that you can actually receive a text through these 21 days, and that text will have a link to that day's devotional. So we're making it super easy for you. So if you open up your phone and you type in the number, go to text, hit the message, whatever you got. I'm going to really walk you through this. Hit message or text, and you type 423-220-4360. And then in that text message, just type in Behold 23, and then click send. And when you do that, tomorrow morning, you will get a text, and then subsequent days, you will get a text so that we can be unified in community together as we lean into the Word of God, as we pray together in unison. And then the other thing that I'm really excited about, that I love what we do, specifically during these fasts, is Monday through Friday. So for 3 weeks, Monday through Friday, we are going to be gathered in this room at 6:30 to 8:30 for our prayer room. And it's a beautiful time. And I know there's a lot of questions about what in the world is a prayer room. Our regular rhythms as a church, we have Monday through Wednesday at noon and then Thursday in the evening. But during this fast, we just want to set apart the evening time, Monday through Friday, 6:30, 8:30, in order that we as a community could really, as a unifying piece, set our eyes on Jesus and enjoy him. And so during this 6:30, 8:30 time, though, people that come and go, you don't have to come. It's not like we're going to sign you in and you're going to say, like, some people just come for 30 minutes and that's all they got in the evening. So they stop by, maybe they're on their way home from work and they stop by the church. Some people bring work or homework, and it really is meant to be a time of freedom. And so to help us understand what this is, our team put together a video I would love to draw your attention to. If you guys don't mind, go ahead and cue that up.
Let me tell you what a prayer room is like. When you walk in here, you can feel the presence of God in the room. You can tell that it's being prayed in all the time because his peace is here.
Something that I really love about the prayer room, first of all, is just the freedom.
The freedom.
It's the freedom of it.
That it's such an intentional, created space for us just to meet God right where we're at.
To do what you want, to be who you are.
It's just an atmosphere of pure peace, and you can feel the presence of God in the room.
It's just really between you and the Lord when it comes to the prayer room. It would change your life, I think.
I find safety. I find a safe place, a refuge. I find a place that I can be still and calm and regain my strength.
This is a place that you can come and you can leave the cares of the world behind, and you can focus on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will meet you right here.
When you're in this sanctuary, when you're in this atmosphere, you can hear the Lord. It's a two-way communication, and it's just beautiful.
Because of the corporate worship going on together, I feel like there's such a connection to heaven. My experience of God just went to a whole new level.
I was just able to sit with God and talk to the Lord. The reason that you come to a prayer room, it's not pushy.
You can do whatever you want to. You can sit down, you can stand up, you can dance, you can do whatever you really like and just praise God.
When I come, I know that I'm coming to meet him and that he's going to be here to meet me.
They need to be here. You need to be here. We all need to be here. It's a wonderful prayer room. Come on.
You need to be here. We need to be here. It's an amazing experience. And so if you haven't ever been to one of our prayer rooms, I would encourage you, take a step out of maybe the normal routine this week, in the next couple weeks, and join us from 6:30 to 8:30. As we step into this really unifying act of fasting together. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait to hear the reports of what God speaks to us individually and as a community. So with that, today I want to look at really the key word in our fast, withhold to behold. I want to talk about beholding today. Beholding. And we're going to see in the text here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, a beautiful text that I love to teach on. And today, though, I'm hoping to take this kind of high level concept, and I'm hoping to give it legs where they can actually walk on the earth today. Real practical application today. That's my goal today. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to pick up in verse 16. Verse 16 says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Somebody get excited about that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I look at verse 18, we all, so this is community, we all, it's not saying I, Paul's not saying when I, he said when we all, look what he says, when we all with unveiled faces, how do we have an unveiled face? It's because Jesus says when we turn to Jesus, the veil is lifted. So we all, as we've seen Jesus, we have unveiled face and we are, what's that word? Behold. We are beholding the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed. There it is, that's the series, transformed. We are beholding the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Or some translations say from glory to glory, right? For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, right? And we read that, and it's like, what in the world are we talking about? What are we beholding, and how are we transforming? So today, I'm going to put on my engineering background, and I'm going to try to help us, you know, understand what does it mean practically to experience what this text says. Because this text says, if you'll do this, you will be transformed. How many of you want to be more transformed in 2023, right? I want it to be. I want it to. I want you to be that. And so there's something in here that we need to grab hold of today and receive. There's a promise in this text today. And so that word behold, what does it mean? Let's just start there. It means to intentionally focus upon. It's not just to see, but it's like my focus is on that thing or that circumstance or that person. And so it says here that we are called to behold God. Now let me just put it in maybe practical terms for us. So one of the people that I love to behold is my wife. I love to behold my wife. And when I behold her, it's different than looking at her. It's I'm actually looking at her in order to understand her. When I behold Kate, I'm seeing past just the image that she bears, and I'm seeing, like, who is Kate Harden? What is she like? You know what I'm doing? I'm studying her. Not in some creepy, weird way. But my intention is I want to know this person. And when I do that, when I'm beholding her, guess what I begin to do? I begin to give thanks. I have a gratitude that wells up inside of me for her, who she is. And as I see my wife and as I really look to her, there's this awe and this wonder when I really see her and I'm like, wow, I get to be married to this person. I get to be this person's best friend forever. Like there's a very, very big difference. And here's the difference is beholding, it requires not only our awareness, but our attention. This is very important that we see this. Beholding something is not just I'm aware of that thing or that person or God even, But I'm aware, and then that awareness leads to attention. How many of you know you can be in the same room with your spouse and not really know your spouse? Like, this is what happens in marriages all the time. Like, we have proximity. I'm aware that my spouse lives in the same house as me. I'm aware that they're in the room with me. I'm aware that I'm parenting with my spouse. But apart from attention, I'm gonna go preaching on this in a second. Apart from attention, there's no real connection. So some of us in our marriages today, we need to move past awareness. And yes, you're married, Captain Obvious, yes. But are you giving your spouse attention? Are you really looking? Are you beholding? Are you seeing them? And this is what the text is saying. It's not just that I'm aware of God, but I'm actually giving my attention to God. And this is where we see transformation take place. And Kim referenced this a few weeks ago. When her and Jamie were doing announcements, I love when they do announcements. It's like a skit that's funny, it's hilarious, they're amazing people. But she said this, she said, we become like what we behold. And this is so true, right? We become like that which we don't just aware of, because we're aware of a lot of things, but what we set our attention to, we become like. And so this is a rule across all things. It's not just for spiritual, you know, followers of Jesus in the church. This is for all humanity. We become like that which we behold, that which has our attention. And this is a double-edged sword, right? Because if our attention is purely on so much, let's just take this for a second. If our attention is so much on the news, and if the news was pure, that may not be such a bad thing. But how many of you know that news broadcast companies exist to make money? Anybody else aware of that? Can I just say, can we just be okay with that? Can we just be honest with that? And guess what? If people don't watch the news, guess what? They don't make money. And if they don't make money, guess what? They don't exist. So guess what their root driver is for their existence? Is to get people to watch to make money. Guess how the best way to do that is? To scare the bejeezies out of people. So just newsflash, when you're watching the news, just say, man, I wonder how they're getting me to watch more news. It's a great question we should ask. But guess what happens when our attention is just on that? We become what we behold. And so guess what? We become really fearful. And fearful people make really bad decisions. They make great customers. Think about that for a moment. What our attention is on, we become like. And so we should say, man, where's our attention? Where's our focus? Where's our energy going? Some of us in the room, our attention is on our lack, what we lack in life. And we're always looking at our lack. We're looking at what we don't have. And what we begin to believe and what we begin to be is a person that thinks somehow that I'm not enough or I'll never have enough. We become what we behold. Some of us in the room, our struggle is that we are so infatuated with our failures. We look at our failures all the time. All we see is how we've messed up. And with that, guess what happens? We live into more and more failures. And what happens is we begin to get jaded, and then we look at other people and we're looking for their failures and we're judging them. We become what we behold. And so here the text is saying, set your attention on, be aware that God is in your midst. Set your attention on God, and when you do, you're gonna become like him. So guess what that means? When we set our attention on God, when we behold God, guess what we're beholding? Love. Guess what we become more like? When we behold love, what do we become like? Guess what happens when we behold mercy? What do we become? More merciful. When we behold grace, what do we become? More graceful. When we behold justice, what do we become? More just. When we behold wisdom, guess what happens? We become more wise. We become what we behold. And part of beholding, an essential part of us becoming what we behold, is that seeing is essential to becoming. I love this. Like, this should be pretty obvious, right? In order to behold something, in order for me to behold my wife, I've got to be able to see my wife. And so for us to behold the Lord, we have to see the Lord. And what it says here in the text, and what it actually gets to a little bit earlier in the text that we didn't look at today, he says, there is a veil that covers humanity's eyes. Now the veil, you know, there's lots of different thoughts on this, but a veil is a covering, and in that covering, it distorts what you're able to see. It limits the details of what you're able to see. And so he says, humanity, as we separate from the truth of God, as we sin, as we fall short of the glory of God, as we do that, our eyes are covered, and therefore we're not really able to see God rightly. And because of that veil, we don't see God rightly. So guess who else we don't see rightly? Who else do I see rightly? Yeah, the veil, see, man, I can't see God rightly. And so because of that, I got to figure out who am I? And so I don't see God rightly. And so then I see myself wrongly. And he says here that Jesus, when he comes onto the scene, he removes the veil. Isn't that beautiful? Like, all of humanity is like, what is God like? We all have our ideas. We all have our thoughts. The Jewish people had their thoughts. the Gentiles of the day, they have their thoughts, and Jesus comes on and he says, look at me. He says, when we turn to Jesus, he says, when you do that, he says, the veil is taken away. You know why? Because when we see Jesus, we see God perfectly. And so when we see Jesus, the veil is removed and we begin to see God. We begin to see what he's like. We begin to see the things he thinks, the things he says. The veil is lifted and we see God. And what happens is when we see Jesus, we begin to see who we were supposed to be. See, some of the translations, other translations, it says that we're beholding as in a mirror. Isn't that beautiful? We're beholding as in a mirror. And so what we see when we see Jesus is we see the one that we are created in his image. Genesis chapter 1 says that we're created, all of us, in the image of God. Romans 8:29 says we are conformed into the image of Christ. And so when we see God rightly through Jesus, who lifted up the veil, we look to Jesus. And what we're doing is we're looking as in a mirror. Think about this. You and I, we're looking at Jesus. We're thinking about this. We're looking at him. Our attention is on him. And as I look to Jesus, guess what? I'm seeing a reflection of who I'm supposed to be, who I was created to be. See, seeing is a huge part of becoming, because you and I, we are called to become like Christ. We are created to be like Christ, and Christ has come, lifted the veil, and he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can become who we're created to be. That's the vision of our church. To grow in the maturity in the image of Christ himself. And as your pastor, let me tell you, this is the one thing that I burn for. The Lord's been reminding me of this. I've been asking the Lord a lot of questions in this new year, and just asking, we should always ask, like, how can I do my job better or more aligned with you? How can I lead more aligned with you, Jesus? How can I lead my family? What do you want me to know? And I felt like the Lord was reminding me the end of last year and this year of a time where I sat down with a mentor of mine in Texas, and we had breakfast together. And he's a great mentor because he asks a lot of questions. He asks a whole lot of questions. And I remember he sat me down one day and we were having breakfast finished up, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, Derek, what do you live for? What are you passionate about?" And I was in my, I don't know, mid, late 20s at the time, and I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, "We're not gonna leave here until you tell me what you're passionate about." Like, "Oh, we're gonna be here a while." And I'm like, "Oh no, he's serious." Like after 10 minutes, he's like, "Oh no, we're not leaving this booth until you tell me what you're passionate for." And here's what I was able to tell him, and this is true of me from when I was itty bitty, is I'm passionate about seeing people transformed into the image of God. It's what I burn for. And I felt like the Lord is like, "Derek, you need to lean into that more as you lead Christ Fellowship. You need to lean more into that." Because my bent is, I'm not an evangelist at my core. I love people coming to know Christ and faith, but that's not my bent. I'm not necessarily even a teacher. I don't want you to leave here with a bunch of notes and a bunch of knowledge. That's not the reason I come and preach. I don't want you to just grow in knowledge. I preach on Sundays. I'm here, I think, for a reason, and that's because I want to see not only you transform, but I want to see our region transformed for the glory and the renown of Jesus. And so he's like, "Derek, you need to be who I created you to be." And so a big part of that as your pastor is I want to help you, and I want to encourage you and exhort you to see God, because this is where transformation happens. To recognize him as we see him rightly, as with the veil is lifted, we see him and we're transformed. But here's the helpful and maybe the sobering part of transformation. Transformation is a progressive work of the Holy Spirit. The work of transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to take you off the hook. You and I, we participate, we collaborate, we have to say yes, and we actually walk with God, yes. But here's what I've been reminded as I get older, that the Lord is so patient with me. Anybody else know the patience of God? Like, my goodness, I thought I'd be so much further along by now. Can anybody else relate to that? And honestly, as I get older, I'm just so grateful that God's not in a hurry and that he's so patient. And what's hard about that is we love the patience of God for ourselves, don't we? Oh my goodness, I love he's patient with me. But don't you hate the patience he has for other people? Can we just be honest? Like I got my stuff together. Can that person just get their stuff together? Like, seriously, like. And so here's the thing I want to encourage is, man, God is so patient with you. Man, I'm telling you, he is so patient, so kind, long-suffering sometimes. And then he says, Derek, will you be that way with the people in your life? Could you, maybe to extend some of that patience. And so we got to recognize that transformation is a process. I love the moments with God. I've had encounters with God that changed me greatly. But even after an encounter with God, maybe in a worship service or maybe in my own prayer time with the Lord, the Spirit of God falls on me and does something. Even in that, how many of you know I'm still not a finished product? It's progressive. It's glory, what? To what? Glory. You see, it's progressive. It's glory to glory, glory to glory, glory to glory. It's a process, and the Lord is so patient to walk us through that. And he says, I want you to be patient with other people as well. And so how in the world do we do this? What does this look like practically? And so I'm going to give you four ways, specifically over the next 21 days, that I believe the Lord has given us that we could behold him rightly, and if the scripture is true, which I believe it's true, anybody else believe it's true? If the scripture is true, if we will behold the face of God, if we will not only be aware of God, but pay attention to God, then you and I will be transformed into his image more than we are today in 21 days. Anybody else believe that's possible? And so my hope today is to make this really, really practical. We can be up here. What's it look like to behold the face of God? We can't even see the face of God. How can we do that? Here's some ways to do that. Number one, this one's super simple. Been around for a long time. Meditate on God and his attributes. Meditate, sit down, think about God and his attributes. That may mean that you open up the scriptures. And so we're going to have some scripture every day for you. Maybe you open up the scriptures and you read and you're like, wow, this says something about God. And so the whole day, all you do is think about God in that way. Meditation is taking our thoughts captive. It's being attentive to what is God saying and then holding that before us. That's what really meditation is. Can we just get over the weirdness of thinking that's an Eastern practice? Oh, now we're stepping on toes. How many of you know David meditated on the law of the Lord day and night? How many of you know Jesus meditated on the beauty of his Father all the time? Listen, meditation is to take this beautiful gift that we have, our mind, and to set it on what we want it to be set on. And so over these next 21 days, what would it look like for us to meditate on the beauty of God, the power of God? And this is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. He says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. What is Paul writing to the Philippians to do? Meditate. Think deeply. Don't just do things to do. Think deeply. We should be a people that think, man, what? We just sang about the God is faithful. You know what would be a great practice today? Meditate on the faithfulness of God until it gets down deep in your soul. Let's not just be the surface people. This is what the pastor, like, what if we went down deep and put down roots and saying, let me think critically. Is it, God, how are you faithful? How have I seen your faithfulness? This is what meditation is. I'm gonna give my attention, I'm gonna sit with God. That may be happening in scripture, that may happen in prayer, and maybe taking a walk and looking at the beauty of God and just taking it in. But what if we meditated on God and his attributes? The second thing that's really practical, and we do this often at the church here on Sundays as we gather, is to give thanks for who God is and what he has done. I don't know if there's anything more transformative over the next 21 days than you could do than to be a person that intentionally thanks God. Because here's what happens when we give thanks. It requires us to not only be aware, but to also give attention to the one that we're thanking. So even just the practicality of let's say Gina gives me a gift. I'm aware that Gina gave me a gift, right? I'm aware. I have this gift, right? I'm aware of it. But for me to give her thanks, I'm not just aware that she gave me the gift. I'm intentional, and I go to the giver and I say, thank you for the gift. Guess what that is? I have now connected with her in a way that I hadn't earlier. And this is what it looks like for us to thank God. God, I'm aware of the grace that you have in my life, my family, my breath in my lungs, the health of my family, the provision that you have, all these things that we could be thankful for, the fact that you never leave me nor forsake, I'm present. And so when I move from just an awareness to giving thanks, my attention is on God. And let me tell you what the whole point of all this is, the whole point of all the scriptures, the whole point of all of our fasts, it is for us to connect with God. It's to be with God. And giving thanks is a one real simple practical way that we not only are aware of God and his provision in our life, but we actually connect with him face to face and thanking him. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And so it's a practical way that we can behold God. The third one is one that you guys would know as well, but if we want to see God, if we want to behold him, serve someone in the next couple of weeks that with no strings attached. Serve somebody who can't repay the favor. Pay for somebody's dinner and don't even tell them about it. Serve in our kids' ministry. Serve your neighbor. Go pick them up at dinner. Ask them if they need something. This is what Matthew 25 says, and this is so profound. This is Jesus speaking. He says this. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now look at this, verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And listen to what the king says. He says, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Listen, if you want to see God, serve somebody who can't do anything for you. I said, man, when did I do that? Man, when you served that person downtown. When you held a little baby in there so their parents could come in and hear hope and healing. You did it for me. Just imagine that. I think one of the icons that has embraced this is Mother Teresa. And this is one of the quotes that she has. I love this quote. She said, I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus. I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and tend to him. I serve because I love Jesus. And if we want to behold Jesus, what if we looked for him in places and in people that maybe we wouldn't otherwise? And this last one is one that I've been stepping into this week, and this last one is if you want to behold God the next few weeks, look for God's image in others. We celebrated my youngest son's birthday this week, and so we got him out of school, played a little hooky lunchtime, and he wanted to go to a certain restaurant, so I got there early, and I was having my computer out, and I was preparing for the message today, and responding to some emails. And as I was there, I was just thinking about beholding, and I wanted to get some work done. I had about 30 minutes before they got there, and we were gonna celebrate his birthday for lunch, and I just kept feeling the Lord saying, look around the restaurant. Look around the restaurant. And I'm like, God, I'm trying to behold you. I'm trying to like teach these people how to behold you. And he's like, no, look around the restaurant. It's a pretty full restaurant. Fast food at that. God shows up in fast food sometimes. Forgive me for that, Lord. But I started looking around the restaurant, and I saw a group of about 6 construction workers at a high top table over in the corner. I was aware of them when I walked in the room. I was aware they were there, but I didn't really look at them. And so I just sat there, and I actually looked at them. You know, there's a difference between looking at somebody and looking at somebody. Now, it was kind of weird. At least their backs were to me, pretty much, you know. I wasn't that creep guy, you know, like that weirdo. But I really was asking the Lord, God, how do you see these guys? They're in their, you know, bright yellow vest, kind of got the dirt on from the day or pavement, whatever they have on the, you know. And I just started looking at it, and I just felt the love of God for those men. And then I looked around a little further, and there was a group of about two women and two men. They were businessmen and women dressed up nice, maybe bankers. I don't know what they were. But once again, I said, Lord, man, how do you see them? Help me to see them. And once again, just felt this reverence for God in that moment, just in a restaurant. And then this mama came in, and she was holding this little toddler, I don't know, 2 years old maybe, and she was trying to hold her food, and the waitress, once again, I was intentionally being present, so I noticed these things. I wouldn't have noticed these otherwise, but the worker recognized that she was holding somebody, and so the worker said, hey, let me grab your food and let me bring it out to you. This is not a restaurant, this is fast food, but she recognized the need, so she did it, and I was like, oh, that's so nice and kind, right? And so then the mom sits down and she tells the little boy, she said, listen, I want you for the first time to sit in your own chair at a restaurant. And so she's like, just sit there. And she sits down and they begin to eat. And I'm, once again, trying not to be a creepster, but I'm like, God told me to look at him. And so I'm looking at him. And then the kid looks over me. And he's got this little, like, mini little construction truck. And he locks eyes with me. And I'm like, oh, there I go. My cover's gone. And he holds it up. And he smiles at me. Do you think God was in that moment? I think so. And the way that I saw that mom care for that little one, it was beautiful. Her patience with that little one. He would kept getting up and running away. And she'd come back and sit him down. Like, man, God, that's me, isn't it? So many times I run over here and you're like, Derek, come on, sit at the big table. Sit with me. And then my wife and boy got there and he was so excited, so thankful that we got him out of school on his birthday to have lunch together and that I would make time for him. And just sitting there, I was just taking them in. Like, this is the kingdom of God right here. Thousands of people, whatever, on a Sunday morning. You know what's more important than that? Me sitting down with my kids and seeing them and beholding them. And you know what happened when I see them, when I sit down with them? I see God. He reveals himself. And so I'm telling you, this next 21 days, listen, it's a time where we as a community, we can intentionally set our focus and our gaze to be aware that God is all over the place. Sunday morning, yeah, we make it about him. Gathering Monday through Friday in this room, but I'm telling you, God is all over the place if we would just have eyes to see him and a heart to say, yes, Lord, show me. And when we do, I'm telling you, we'll be transformed. I'll tell you what happens when we begin to see people as God does. We can't hate them. You know how hard it is and how frustrating it is when you're angry at somebody to ask God, God, how do you see that person? And he's like, that's a person I love and I died for. And I'm like, I hate them. What are you telling me? And you know what else? It's really hard to gossip around somebody who we recognize has the image of God on their life. It's really hard to demonize and to make fun of and to call names somebody when we see them as image bearers. So what would it look like for us this next couple weeks as a community to behold practically, intentionally, look for God, ask him questions, engage with him. And in the process, I think we'll be transformed. So I want to close just praying that over our church, over you guys in the room, those that are joining us online, and then we're going to have our prayer team come up here. Lord, thank you for your patience. Thank you that you're so generous that even when we miss you, even years and decades, that you're still just as present and just as knowable as you would have been years before. So Lord, I bless this community, this community that we call Christ Fellowship, and as we take the step into this corporate fast, that we would be a people that recognize your presence, that we would see you, that our veil, we wouldn't live as people that have veiled eyes, but we've seen the living God in Jesus. that we can see who we're created to be. And so I pray, Lord, over the next 21 days that you would do a deep work in us, that you would transform us into the image of Jesus, into the true that we're supposed to be, that we're called to be, that you created us to be, that you would lead us into that. Grow our awareness of you, but not just an awareness, Lord, but may we also pay attention to your voice, pay attention to the ways that you're working through other people in our lives, the ways that you're revealing yourself. And so, Lord, I pray this all the time, Lord, would you give us eyes to see you, and would you help us to have big ears to hear you, and that over these 21 days, our hearts would grow more and more yielded to you, to join you, to believe you. That's the work that we have, is to believe the one whom God sent, to believe. Help us to believe you. We bless you, Jesus. Amen. Our prayer team's gonna be up here today as we close out. If you would like to pray with somebody over anything you have in life, whether it's physical needs, whether it's relational conflicts or whatnot, we would love to partner with you in praying. If you don't have a prayer need, we would love to see you hopefully sometime this week, 6:30 to 8:30 here. And then Monday, we're gonna start the fast. We love you guys. Have a great day. Let's behold him as we go.